We're back to the AMR studio located in the Western Metal Supply Company building. It's more of Padres Social Hour.
Welcome back to the program, Padres Social Hour, brought to you by United Airlines. Welcoming to the set, the skipper of the Padres, Buddy Black. Buddy, great to see you today. Thanks for joining us.
Good to see you guys. It's great to be back down here in the left field corner.
We just had a ball hit here. It sounded like a bullet went off outside.
Well, the Astros, they got some power. They can get it out this way. They got some strikeout in them, but they got some power in them.
I think the Pods were still hitting when this happened.
Oh, really?
Yeah, your guys were peppering us.
Okay, well, that's
that's much better.
I like
right?
that better. Yeah,
exactly.
We got some power, too.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. Hey, we're getting towards the end of April. Your first month with a relatively brand new team here. What are your overall impressions so far?
Well, a couple things. As far as the brand new team, I think that's something to talk about. I like the fact that, the guys are still growing together. It takes a while, Kurt, as you know, to bring as many guys into the fold as we did and have those guys gel and get that team chemistry built. And, obviously it helps that we've won more than we've lost. We've been in some hard-fought games. We've been in every game. This year, the one game maybe when we fell behind 10-3, we came back to 10-7. So every game has been close, and there's been a great dynamic in the clubhouse and in the dugout, so that's helping. But, overall, I think that you can look out there and see that a number of guys are off to great starts. Some guys on the offensive side, Kemp is off to a nice start. Norris is swinging well. Upton, has driven in some runs. Myers, leading the National League in runs scored. So there's a number of things you can point to, and I still don't think we're hitting on all cylinders, which is a good thing, both at the plate and on the mound. So there's still room to grow.
So you did so many great things in spring training to get these guys bonded, to team camaraderie and things like that, but there's only so much you can do. How much time do you think does it take to get the on-field chemistry, the cutoff man, the baseball aspects
well,
of it?
Well, I think
that's
that,
a different story, right?
Yeah, well, I think that, guys – their communication on the field on defense is imperative. And we stress that a lot in spring training, especially between, Justin, Will, and Matt. They never played together. And that dynamic of feeling comfortable and knowing guys, how they go after balls. And even, this may sound funny, but, you hear your teammates. You hear them. And, the more either their strides, their feet, their voices, and it takes time for all those things to come together. And there's every night there isn't a play that they can gain that. So I don't know if there's an exact date that you say that they'll finally they're together.
Right.
It happens over time. But we've stressed as coaches for these guys to really get to know each other as best can, and we're doing everything we can to enhance that.
It doesn't matter what cap you have on. The cutoff man is still in the same place.
Sure.
I mean, that's taught from the minor leagues on. It's going into the gap. Who's going to take the ball? Who's
right.
going to hit that cutoff man?
Right.
And who's going to take the fly ball away from the other guy?
Right.
I think we've already seen that this year.
Yeah, that's happened a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
The one game against the Giants that shallow fly ball in the left field with Barmas, Myers, and Upton. You're right, Kurt. Those are the type of things that in the long run help us when we get through those things. So, guys in the batting order, when they're talking about pitchers and, the dialogue in the dugout, all those things are important, and it's been good stuff.
Yeah, but the Barmas play was one that he missed, and he admitted that. It was his ball, or at least he took the blame for it. He might have taken the blame for it.
But
there's been great plays also. It's not the misses that we're talking about here. It's the great plays that the outfielders have made going into the gap, and it's also the infielders going back where we all know they're playing a little deeper, and the infielders have to take charge. But if the outfielder comes in, what happens? He's got to call him off, right?
Right. And I do think, a lot of people, talked about our outfield defense as being weak, and I haven't seen that at all.
I mean, certainly.
Upton has made, almost a handful of great sliding catches. Myers has made some plays. Kemp has made some nice plays. So I'm, the outfield defense has been fine. The first 2 weeks, Yonder made some uncharacteristic errors that he's, has cleaned up here the last 10 days. But, overall, you know, we're going to, you know, we're talking about our defense a little bit and some things we can do. But, again, you know, where we are right now, you know, there's some things we need to clean up like all teams do. But, you know, our pitching is going to get on a roll here pretty quickly, and I think some good things are going
to
happen.
Talking to manager Buddy Black, this team's leading the National League in runs, and I think it's fair to say you probably haven't had a lineup like this in your tenure with the Padres. Is it changing your thinking at all in your decision-making about how maybe you deal with a pitching change or something like that, knowing that you've got a stronger lineup that might get you into a game? You don't have to pull a pitcher, perhaps. Has your mindset changed at all with this team?
Well, you know, a little. Yeah, sure it has, because, you know, this team is built, you know, more on, you know, slugging percentage potential than, you know, maybe manufacturing runs like we've had to do in the past with our personnel. You know, you might not see – you know, as many hit and runs, you might not see as many stolen base attempts and those types of things, because we don't have those types of players. We're still going to push the envelope on certain pitcher-catcher combinations as far as a stolen base. We're still going to, you know, hit and run with certain guys if it's out there in front of us. But, you know, we're going to let these guys hit a little bit more than what we have in the past.
Speaking of letting them hit, what led you to the decision? I'm really curious to find this out. Because it was a brilliant move, by the way, to let James hit last night.
Well, you know, that's a fair question. First of all, he's probably, even though he's been in the American League, our best hitting pitcher. Again, with, you know, two outs, man on second, down three runs. You know, potentially I thought that there was a chance that Shields could put up two more zeros to get us into the, you know, get us into the past the seventh inning. I know he had 90 pitches. He wasn't throwing that bad, and he's, you know, again, he's our horse, and I want him out there. You know, I want him pitching. And, you know, the matchup with, you know, one of our left-handed pinch hitters, I didn't think it was a good matchup. So we talked through it and decided to let Shieldsy hit, and sure enough, he got a base hit. And
brilliant.
Brilliant. It worked out for us. So, hey, thank you. So, you know, the next time we do that, you'll say, dude, not so brilliant.
What is he doing?
Yeah. That's the beauty of baseball.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
That's what it's in.
That's baseball.
What it's all about.
That's baseball. You know, one of the early struggles with the ball club has been a little bit of the bullpen, a couple hiccups here and there. It's got to be tough for a reliever to work through if they're in a rough spot, never knowing when you're going to pitch for the most part. A guy going into the lineup, he knows when he's going to get his at-bats. A starter knows when he's going to get that fifth day. Relievers don't know when they're going to get in there to kind of work through the issues they might be having.
Yeah, that's the thing that we're a little frustrated with, because we're so spoiled by our bullpens over the last number of years. And when you bring in Kimbrel and you have Benoit, and you look at Quackenbush and Maurer and Kelly and all these guys that have, pitched well last year. And then you automatically think it's going to happen again this year. But that's, you know, that's another beauty of baseball. You never know. That's why you play. So there's some things that on just fundamental pitching, we have to get back to basics. First pitch strikes, stay away from the leadoff walk, the two-out walk. You know, get the guys out that you should get out, pitch around certain guys that you're going to pitch around. And we just haven't been as fundamentally sound in pitching principles that we need to be out of the bullpen. And that's something that, you know, we talk about daily, and then we need the execution from our players.
And it's funny, the story you were telling the writers earlier about the going back to the Pine Tar game, the replay after the protest was overturned, and Quisenberry, a reliever, knew he was going to pitch, and he really struggled with that.
Yeah, that was still a recollection of that. We don't have time for the whole story, but, you know, for a relief pitcher, a closer, to know that, you know, once this game was going to be resumed on August, whatever date it was, Quisenberry knew he was pitching, you know, 3 weeks in advance of a certain. And then when we got on the flight to New York, he was a nervous wreck because he knew he was pitching. Because most relievers don't know. You know, the game unfolds and, you know, they're watching the game and then they see their, you know, they see their spot sort of start happening, and then they get their nerves and they get their, you know, they get their focus. But Quiz was a mess. It was one of the most hilarious plane flights we've ever had, giving him a bad time.
That's great.
The bats are a little different now with the different colors going up the barrel. But I see pine tar 3 or 4 inches higher
right
nowadays than I saw George's bat
right
back then.
Well, you can appreciate this. I think with George never broke bats. So, you know, whenever he'd take his at-bat, he had this same gamer, and you get the pine tar rag and put it on there, and it just continually crept up. But you're right. I think that, you know, umpires or, you know, league office, they're not paying as much attention to pine tar as they did that particular game.
Shields,
for
he
sure.
got squeezed a few times last night too.
You know,
don't put him on the hot seat. Yeah,
no, I'm not asking you if he did. You know, I'm telling you he did. That's my opinion.
And I'm not going to disagree with that's, you.
There we go.
See?
That's well played. Yeah, well played. We got a nice question from East Village Times here on Twitter. How many times have you confused Brandon Morrow and Brandon Maurer? You got nicknames for these guys. How are you handling that?
You know, we do have nicknames. Brandon Morrow is BMO.
Okay.
Brandon Maurer is Maurer Power.
Oh.
It's on his glove, by the way. Maurer Power. I have confused those two guys, though. Not so much in appearance, but with verbal.
Well, you got to be happy with Brandon Morrow's giving you. I mean, essentially kind of been the stopper for this team out of the rotation. He's been fantastic.
He's been outstanding. And, you know, a couple of those outings have come after tough losses or games that we really, you know, needed to win. So he has really stepped up with some good games. And, you know, like we've talked about, he's got weapons. And, you know, he's doing his part for sure.
I'm really curious about something that I think turned the game around last night, and it wasn't Derek's throw. Them stealing second and third in that situation, that surprised everybody.
You know, that
it made.
That surprised us too. I think with, you know, again, you know, that situation, Kurt, first and second, eighth inning, you know, left-handed hitter with bunt potential who had struck out three times. You know, I'm thinking, okay, the possibility of the bunt. So I went out to the mound and we put on a bunt play, and you know we saw the Joaquin threw the pitch and he didn't square, so we took the off, so we sort of played straight up, and then got to 1-1, then it got to 2-1, and we know that Springer steals third, he's one of their stolen base guys, but you know, he took advantage of, you know, Joaquin being a little slower to the plate on that particular pitch, but it surprised us. And you know, I think it startled Derek, but I think Derek knew that he had a good jump, and he just really rushed his throw and really didn't fundamentally make the footwork and the exchange like needed. And, you know, I think if the ball would have been online, it wouldn't have to have been a perfect throw. I think he would have been out, but I think Derek rushed the throw.
I think it was a game changer.
But that was both ways. That was extremely courageous.
Absolutely.
By Springer. So, again, it's one of those plays, as you know, if we throw him out, it's like, what are you doing? But as it turned out, they're saying, wow, aggressive base running. Mm-hmm. It worked out. So that's the manager's life, isn't it? That's the manager's life. And that, you know, when you're a Padre fan, and it goes our way. And if you're an Astro fan, it's the beauty of our game again.
Really great stuff from Buddy. Buddy, thanks so much for stopping by. I appreciate the time. I know you've got a lot of work to get to, so we'll let you get back to that. But thank you so much.
Always a pleasure, boys, to talk baseball with you, too. You got it.
Appreciate it. Join the Padres and the Baseball Tomorrow Fund to help youth baseball and softball programs. On May 3rd and May 7th, bring your new or used equipment to Petco Park to donate. Thanks. Our special thanks to Buddy Black. More Padres Social Hour right after this.